All right. Well, good evening. Well, thank you guys so much for coming out tonight. Appreciate you being here. You could probably turn me down a little. That seems a little loud to me. I don't know if it sounds loud to you guys, but some of you are like, you can just turn it off altogether. I don't need to hear any of it. So, well, all right. I want to open up with a few announcements, and then we'll spend some time in prayer, and then we'll jump into our devotion this evening as we continue through Matthew. So right away, just a reminder about Angel Tree. And so this is an amazing ministry that you can be a part of. And there was an insert in the bulletin today. Right out here in the lobby is the tree with some tags on it. We're still waiting on some more tags to come in and all of that. But as you see those coming in, you can go ahead and take one of those tags. Do not take one without making sure that your name gets recorded. Right, Terry? We don't want a tag to just go missing and not know who has that tag. So I believe there is a sign-up sheet right or paper right there with it. So if tonight you would like to take one of those tags that are on the tree, you can do that. You just need to get with Terry and make sure your name gets written down, all right? The tag has the number of children, the Christmas gift ideas on there, so there's definitely information on there you want to make sure you have, so definitely do that. Everything is due back to the church by December 14th, and they do wrap that, right? Wrap the present and everything, or... Okay, if you want to wrap it, you can. If you don't have time or unable to, you can just drop it off, and we'll make sure that gets taken care of. If you have questions, you can see Terry, and you're still looking for one more person to maybe deliver, help deliver. Yep, so one more volunteer. Also, we didn't really get a chance, or did. Salvation Army, we are doing bell ringing again. So out at the Welcome Center, there are some sign-up sheets, and they are for Friday, December 19th, Saturday, December 20th, from 10 to 6, 2 hour slots. Okay. So you sign up for two people to sign or sign up for 2 hours and you just ring bell right there at Kroger in Emily City. All the money that comes into those kettles for the Kroger location, I believe something like 95-98% of those funds stay in Lapeer County. So we'd love to have you be a part of that, serve and volunteer in that way if you would like. Again, you can sign up at the Welcome Center. If you have somebody that's ringing with you, you can sign up with them. If you do not have someone that's ringing with you, you can go ahead and sign up on that spot, and then we'll try to partner you with somebody, all right? Just a reminder, we have the ladies event coming up on December 13th at 11 a.m. Renee Hoag will be speaking for that, so you don't want to miss that. Cost is $10 per person. 12 and under are free. And so again, this is for any ladies, not just ladies in our church. You can invite family members, friends, coworkers, neighbors, all that good stuff to come out to that. It is a brunch and PJs is the attire. So definitely know that. Men's prayer breakfast is going on December 6th, as well as getting the church ready for Christmas. So we are decking the halls on December 6th. It says 9 to 2. It might be a little later than 9 because sometimes the prayer breakfast goes a little bit after 9. So maybe more like 9:15, 9:30. But just know that when you come out, if you come out and you're wanting to get going right at 9 a.m. and we're still all in there and there's no one else in here, wait for us, because I don't want you to do anything too much before we get going, okay? There's kind of an order to everything. We've kind of figured out a way to do that. So, and I don't want Dale getting any trees and lights before it's too early. We want to make sure we save that for him. So, because he loved working on that one tree for like 45 minutes, but it was the lights. It really was the lights, I think, if I remember right. So, whatever happened with that? Did they work or did you just throw them away?
It was a pre-lit tree.
That's what it was. Right. Yes, sort of. Yes. That's the beauty of it. Some of those half the strands been cut off and ripped off. Some work, some don't. So it's always fun. And I say all that to say it really is a lot of fun. So come on out. Don't let that discourage you. It is a lot of fun. So, and we love to have as much help as possible. We have a lot of trees to put up, a lot of decorations to put up. So the more help we have, the better. We also will do lunch that day as well. And so we may or may not go to 2 o'clock. We may end earlier. So if you can only come for a little bit, try to come earlier in the day, not later. Just a reminder as well, the Refuge of Lapeer County, we're hosting for them this Christmas again. So December 21st through the 28th, we are hosting our guests from the Refuge Sunday night through Sunday morning. And so our guests will come out to the church. We'll provide them dinner. They'll hang out here for a little bit, spend the night, We'll provide them breakfast, and then we'll need drivers to take them back to the refuge, and then they'll come back that evening. Again, more drivers needed, meal help. We love to have people that can come and just hang out with our guests, encourage them, just have conversations with them. And so if you can be a part of that in any way, shape, or form, you can sign up at the Welcome Center. Again, on December 7th, there'll be a short kind of Q&A right after Sunday morning that can answer a lot of your questions about the Refuge Week. So last I knew, we still needed quite a few drivers. And so if you're interested in that, you don't need a special license or anything. I believe it's a 12 or 15 passenger van. I can't remember which one. But you don't need a special license or anything. So if you can do that, we'd love to have you do that as well. All right. Lost and found. Please check lost and found. If you think anything your child, grandchild, or you yourself might have left, tumblers are always found at the church quite often. We're probably, I don't know if we decided this is the last week, next week. Okay. So the boss says this is last week, so we'll just pull it. And donate that to Goodwill or wherever local, and can't really have it up week after week after week. So, but if, check it out and see if there's anything on there that is yours or maybe somebody you know. I think that's all the, just a reminder, this Wednesday, don't forget, just saw that little reminder in the bulletin on the calendar side. This Wednesday, no PM service for any ministries with Thanksgiving this week. All right. So lots of things going on. So excited. Huge praise for this morning. What was the final count of the boxes that were on the stage? Was it the 134? Jeff, do you remember? 136? Okay. So 136 boxes we brought in this, that we brought in from our church. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. So that's Word of Life, teens, our packing party, and any boxes that were brought in by people in the church. So that's pretty amazing because last year we did 88 boxes. So to go from 88 to 136 is a huge praise. And a really cool praise is 2 years ago, we were in the 50s. We were like 51 or 52 boxes is what we brought in for our church. So so excited, so thankful. Love seeing all the kids involved. That was really great to see as well. And so, so thankful for the opportunity to be a part of all of that. Yes?
Do we know the total grant for what is going to?
As far as what we've brought in as a drop-off location? What are we up? They have one more drop off in the morning, right? How much? 546 has come into our church as a drop off location. Yeah, that's awesome. And then I think we got one more time in the morning, right? First thing. Yeah. And then we'll ship them out from here. So so really cool. Huge praise. A lot of people appreciated a location being right here. We have some people that honestly, they was hearing from Lapeer that there's no drop-off location in Lapeer. And so some of those churches and groups in Lapeer or Lapeer area came over here because it was one of the closer spots. So it's awesome to hear that. I love hearing that. So we're going to continue to do this, continue to be a drop-off location as long as we have volunteers that want to serve. And so it's been so awesome to see every day people just coming in and serving and getting involved and really, really cool. Obviously, Jeff and Margie doing an amazing job overseeing all of this and helping with all of this. Just knocked that out of the park. So really appreciate those guys as well. So prayer requests and praises. We'll take just a few moments and open it up for any prayer requests or praises, and then we'll pray. Jeff? Just a few.
Quite a few.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Amen. Yeah. Amen. No, I appreciate that. And I agree 100%. We put something out there and man, sign up sheets and volunteer opportunities are getting filled up across the board. So no, we are so thankful for so many that serve. And I love what you said. It's not always the same four or five or six people every single time that do everything, because that does happen in church a lot. But I'm so thankful, as Jeff said, that you guys are volunteering and serving and stepping in. It's awesome to see. Absolutely amazing to see. So I can't imagine doing this week with just Jeff and Margie running those tables. It wouldn't happen. So you guys are amazing for doing that. So. Yeah. I think I've only ever seen, was it a funeral dinner you were helping with or something? Yeah. So he does have other things than jean shorts. He does own pants. But no, praise the Lord. That's awesome. So, and feel free to share that picture. I would love to see that. Yeah. It might end up on the screen next week. You never know. So that's awesome. It just depends on how much money Claudette has, and we'll just make sure we can take care of it. Now, just to continue to pray for the various prayer chains you guys have seen go out. If you don't get our prayer chain, it's just on the app. So if you get our app, North Goodland BC, they come through as notifications there. So just make sure you turn your notifications on for our app. And they all come through that way. So we talked about Travis's friend, best friend, whose son Frankie, you guys have been seeing that, just battling with this very rare condition. Praise, as was sent out this morning, that he did recover some brain function, but they're trying to figure out his meds and wean him off other meds so that these seizures can get under control. And so be praying for that. Doug McMahon, we want to continue to pray for Doug and his health, pray for healing. Again, just want to lift up Sherry as well as he's going through all that he's... I'm not sure if it's, is it pronounced Graydon? Graydon? Okay. So Graydon, he did pass away, and that went out a few days ago that he was battling with some things. And so want to be praying for her family. Sounds like Texas is where this family, well, part of her family is, I should say. So let's be praying for him as well and the family there. But any other prayer requests or praises before we open in prayer? Terry.
Having the privilege of working with brothers and sisters in this church is something I want to put a praise out for. But also, there's a lot of people, Christian people, being attacked right now in other countries. And just from being a Christian, they're being attacked. So I think we should lift them up in prayer.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Blessed beyond measure.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Our brothers and sisters in Nigeria, I just keep seeing story after story about situations, churches being raided, people being kidnapped, all kinds of things. I just heard China, pastors are being arrested in China, and it hasn't been this bad for quite a while. And so just being a believer, just being a Christian, if we did this right here, what we're doing right now in some places, we could be arrested for this. Our property could be taken. We could lose our lives for this. And so we need to be lifting up our brothers and sisters all over the world that are specifically going through times of persecution, absolutely, and remember them in prayer. And again, as we mentioned before, if you're interested in finding out more about that, Voice of the Martyrs has an amazing ministry where they tell these stories. So VOM Radio is the name of like their podcast. And there's different interviews they do with different people from all over, different places that are persecution. So if you're interested in finding out more about that and be praying more specifically, check out VOM. They have amazing resources. And then also we have the prayer guide, but you're welcome to take one of those as a guide, which is at the Welcome Center. It's for this year. We'll get more next year, but you're welcome to take one of those as well and see if that, again, is an encouragement to you to keep praying for them. Sandra. Yeah. Right now with the holiday going on this week, obviously if there are some people who don't have the opportunity to have that meal with family and those opportunities. And so be praying for those that are in those situations right now this week, but also as we as believers have opportunity, if we know of some way we can be a blessing, to put that out there and let people know that we want to be a help to them. Absolutely. Because there are a lot of people, not just even those without, you know, homes or things like that. But especially, we just did our grief share, surviving the holidays. So especially even those that are going through the loss of a loved one, this time of year, Christmas time can be very difficult. So I want to be praying for those individuals. Lynn.
Backing on that, we are having Thanksgiving here. If anybody doesn't, if you know of anybody who doesn't have family to meet with, they're welcome to join us at 2 o'clock.
Amen. Yeah, Bob and Terry Raymond are doing Thanksgiving here. And if you know someone that doesn't have a place to go for Thanksgiving, they're welcome to join these guys Thanksgiving Day at 2 o'clock here at the church. So appreciate you giving that invitation as well. Anyone else? A prayer request or a praise before we pray this evening? Sure. Oh, praise the Lord. Opportunity to do the fruit baskets and be a blessing. I love that ministry. Pastor Greg nailed it this morning when he said these opportunities are teaching these students ways that they can serve, ways that they can show that Christ-like love. So I'm so thankful that was a blessing to you. I'm glad it was my son, one of the kids. Do you remember? Was Josiah there? Greg was just, okay. No, you're fine. I just want to make sure when you said they're good kids, I was like, I hope he's including Josiah into that. So, no, it's all good. Yeah. 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 No, that's awesome. Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful to hear that. Love that ministry, absolutely. So appreciate our students and serving that way, absolutely. Anyone else, a prayer request or a praise before we pray? No? All right. Well, let's go ahead and spend a few moments in prayer, and then we'll dive into the Word. Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come together and to worship you. And Lord, we're so thankful to be a part of your church, to serve and to be a part of a church that is so giving, so generous, not because of how it makes us feel, but because it's what you call us to, that you might be glorified, that you might use all these good works we're talking about as ways in which the gospel can be communicated, that lives can be changed from shoeboxes and giving those gifts to the Angel Tree Ministry. The gospel going forth there, Lord, into homes and into families. Father, we pray that you would continue to give us opportunities in our own daily lives to reach out to those around us. And if we know somebody that's struggling right now, Lord, whether it be the loss of a loved one or financial situation, or they just don't have anywhere to go for Thanksgiving, that we would do our part as we can. We can't meet every need initiative and to make those decisions. What we can do, help us to see those opportunities and to take that initiative and to make those decisions. And Lord, again, to be that testimony of Christ-likeness. Father, we do thank you for the student ministry and the fruit baskets that were delivered. We thank you for the impact that that has to just, we pray, Lord, remind those that receive them that they are loved and cared for and prayed for. And Lord, I'm so thankful for students that desire to serve, desire to show that love. For our youth leaders that took time out of their day to travel around and drop these baskets off with the students. We thank you for them, for Pastor Greg and for Trenton and Jenna, for Deanna. Lord, what a blessing they are to our students and to our church. Father, we thank you for this morning, for all those shoeboxes that came in and all the kids that got to be a part of that, Lord, and just to see, again, Lord, that generation of young people becoming normal to serve and to go beyond themselves, Lord. I pray that would continue. Father, we thank you for giving us the opportunity to be a drop-off location, to be a blessing to our community. I pray that each one of these over 500 boxes that have been brought in that will ship out tomorrow, Lord, that you would just go with each one and the gospel would go forth. And again, you would be glorified. Lord, we pray for these requests that we've mentioned, for Doug McMahon, for his health. Lord, we know that there's just a lot going on there, Lord. We pray that you would bring healing. You'd bring strength. We pray for Sherry that you'd be with her, comfort her, Lord. Father, we think of Frankie, this young man that is battling this very rare disease, Lord. We thank you for the returning of some of that brain function. We pray that would continue. Give the doctors wisdom as they try to help comfort the parents, Lord. I don't know where they're at with you, if they know Christ or not, Lord. I just pray that you would use this to bring them close to you. And Father, we pray for the Danielson family, Lord, for Kat and just the passing of her nephew. I just pray you'd be with them and the family in Texas there, Lord. And again, just watch over them and comfort them through this. Father, we praise you for all that you're doing. Thank you for a great morning, a great day, just a time to celebrate you through communion. Lord, just to see you work in our lives and to hear of what you're doing in people's lives individually through the working of your word is so powerful. And Lord, it's not because of us. We're flawed and failed creatures. It's because of you and what you can do through us by the moving of your spirit. So we pray, Lord, that you would be glorified as we just center our hearts and minds on you. Help us to learn what we have to, or what you have for us tonight, Lord, that we'd apply it to our lives and be changed because of it. We thank you, Father, for this evening, and we ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right, Matthew chapter 10, and I do have a new handout for you, so if I can get a couple volunteers that'd like to hand out some handouts, who'd like to do that? Two volunteers, maybe? Okay, awesome. There you go, and then Everett. Awesome, thanks, bud. So we are continuing our study through the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. And if you have not been with us up to this point, we do have all the previous weeks and chapters up here. So if you need a copy of a handout, we've got those here. There's no fill in the blanks for these. This is just kind of an outline to help you with your study. Just kind of see the flow of the text that we're going to be looking at. So Matthew chapter 10. And we've covered a lot of ground so far in the Gospel of Matthew. So tonight we're going to be looking at the messengers of Christ. The messengers of Christ. So we've talked about a lot of different aspects of the ministry of Christ so far in these first 9 chapters. It's hard to believe that we're already on chapter 10. Thanks, bud. Everyone good? Everyone got one? All right. So just a quick review. What is Matthew's desire? Thanks, brother. What is Matthew's desire in his presentation of Christ in this gospel? What is he trying to communicate about Christ? What's his goal? Okay, he wants to reach Jews and the Jewish audience. What does he want them to understand about Christ? Yeah, well, that he's divine, he's God. What else? That he's the Messiah, right? That's the key. He's a fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah. And that's why he references so many aspects of the ministry of Christ, the teachings of Christ, to affirm he is in fact what the prophets said would happen and who would come as the Messiah. That's his number one goal, that Jesus is Messiah. Now, in doing that, he's communicating to the Jewish audience that Jesus is God, right? One of the biggest things that people will say is, well, Jesus never claims in the Gospels to be God. And what they mean is they can't find that verse where Jesus stops everyone and says, I am God. That's what they're looking for, right? Those three words. But we see many examples of Jesus giving himself titles of divinity, claiming things that only God can claim of himself. One of the key things we just saw in the last chapter where Jesus declared that someone's sins are forgiven, right? He said, your sins are forgiven. What was the reaction of the religious leaders when Jesus said those words? He's a blasphemer. Why is he blaspheming? Because only God can forgive sins. And again, they're not wrong. I can forgive no one's sins. Now, I may forgive you of a sin you commit against me and say, well, between us, I forgive you. But that has no weight with God. I don't say, well, you're forgiven, so now God has to forgive you. Oh, no. God decides who he will forgive. And God has told us how we can be forgiven. What is the grounds on which we are forgiven? How can I have my sins forgiven? The only way I can have my sins forgiven. Yeah, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, putting my faith and trust in him and him alone. I don't need someone to tell me these list of works I need to go do so that I can be forgiven. I go to the one who can give me forgiveness, Jesus Christ. And if I do and believe what Jesus says to believe, then I am forgiven. And I can have confidence in that because he's the one that is the judge. Remember, at the end, we will stand before Jesus Christ. He has been given all authority, the Bible says. So the one who could judge me, condemned in my sin, has already taken my place on the cross and said, because of that, I am pardoned. And again, it's the love of God. We talked about it this morning. I know John 3:16 is such a familiar passage, but I really want to encourage you this week, center on that idea, the love of God, not just for you, but for others. The gospel, preach it to yourself every single day. Because when we stop preaching the gospel to ourselves, we start thinking we're the center of our own universe. We start elevating ourselves and decreasing him. We think it matters more what we want and what we think and what we say and what the world wants than what he wants. And so here we see that Jesus has been very clearly displayed as the Son of God, the man or the Son of Man, right? Which is the title of the Messiah. He has declared the power over death and sickness and disease and demonic possession, powers over nature, right? He has the power over the dead to raise the dead back to life. He's taught amazing teachings in the Sermon on the Mount. He has taught things in the Sermon on the Mount that today philosophers still wrestle with. How could Jesus have that kind of wisdom? Why would he teach it that way? So again, we have all of this unpacked, and then we get to chapter 10. And if you remember, at the end of chapter 9, we spoke about the call of Christ to his disciples to what? Pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into his harvest. That's how he finishes chapter 9. He looks upon the multitudes, the crowds of people that were gathered around, and he is moved with compassion. As he sees our sin and our brokenness and our rebellion, he shouldn't be moved to compassion. He should be moved to what? Judgment, wrath. But instead, he is moved to compassion because he sees us as sheep having no shepherd. We are leaderless. That doesn't mean that we're not responsible, because we are responsible for our actions. But he sees us in a great need, right? So he says to his disciples, his followers, pray. Can I tell you, I love that the solution that Jesus suggests is the thing that the church today does the least? Pray. Let's just pause for a second here. What were the disciples doing when the Holy Spirit fell in Acts chapter 2 before the church was truly off and running at the foundation church? What were they doing? In the upper room, and they were? In the Old Testament, what was God's people doing when the temple was dedicated and God's Spirit fell upon the temple? They were praying. When you go to Acts and Peter's in prison, what's the church doing while Peter's in prison? Praying. And in fact, Peter knew the church would be praying to the degree that as soon as he was released, he went right to the church and the house where the church was meeting because he knew where they would be. That's a huge testimony of the church. And yet, as we've said so many times, so many churches in our country that used to have thriving prayer meetings now don't even have service during those times. So many churches have canceled the nights that on Wednesday nights when they would do prayer meeting because people just stopped showing up. And now, let me be clear, people can show up to a prayer meeting and still not pray. Attendance isn't the key. Engagement is the key. But I'm always amazed that Jesus' solution wasn't, okay, memorize this strategy on how to reach people. Take this class, 6-week class on how to evangelize. Nothing's wrong with that. I took classes in Bible college about personal evangelism and all of this. There's nothing wrong with that. Memorize Romans Road, that's fine. But he doesn't start with those things. He starts with prayer. Why? Because prayer is what softens the heart of the believer to see the need and to see people with what? Compassion. If I don't pray and I just start going down this strategy, I don't see people with compassion. I see them as objects, right? I have to get them converted and then I succeeded. And we start thinking more about this conversion mentality. And we're just selling something at that point. But man, when we see them with compassion, we'll be driven with that Christ-like love. And I know I need that. I know that when I don't have the compassion I should have for the world around me, it's because I'm not praying for the eyes of Christ, the mind of Christ, to be cultivated, as we said last week in our Sunday morning message. So here we see that Jesus says, I want you to pray. Again, this is a powerful moment in Matthew when Christ invites the disciples into his ministry. I mean, think about it. Up to this point, it's been him doing a lot of teaching and him doing a lot of work, right? 5, 6, and 7 is all the Sermon on the Mount. 8 and 9 is the ministry of Christ. He's performing miracles. He's casting out demons. He's teaching. And the disciples are kind of just observers. They're kind of just watching at this point. But now he actually says, hey, you've been watching for all this time. I want you now to engage with me. I'm inviting you into my ministry. We open chapter 10 with an answer to that prayer as Christ sends out the 12. I believe this means the disciples did pray and Christ did respond by sending these specific men out to preach. Again, while we are sent out by Christ to evangelize today and proclaim the gospel to all so that they might hear and believe, we are not the 12. So we have to be careful when we're studying scripture and we interpret scripture. There are specific things that were given to the 12 to do that are not given to us. And there are similar things that we're called to that they were called to. But we have to be able to distinguish and discern those differences. Again, we are not the 12. These men were given specific power at a specific time that you and I do not have today, which is really laying a foundation of the church to come. Many of the signs of Christ and the apostles is a foreshadowing of what the gospel will do spiritually. Think about it. Jesus raised people from the dead. And what an amazing miracle that is. The apostle Paul raised a young man from dead. He died, right? He fell out a window and he died. Because why? Paul was long-winded. So I love Paul for that. I appreciate Paul for that. But this young man died and Paul raised him back to life. But what does Jesus do every single time somebody accepts him as Lord and Savior? The Bible says that he raises them to life. He quickens them. He makes them alive. That means in my sin, Ephesians 2, I am dead spiritually. I'm dead. I'm in the tomb. I'm Lazarus. I can't come forth on my own. I can't get out of the grave cloths. I can do nothing of my own. I need the voice of God to call to me and say, come forth. And until Jesus calls us forth, we're just in the tomb. And we can do all the good works we want. We can do all the good things we want to do, but we're still dead. By the way, I've yet to see a dead man do a good work. I've yet to see a dead person do anything. And isn't that kind of the point Paul's driving at? We do nothing to save ourselves. You don't quicken yourself. You don't make yourself alive because you chose to put your faith in Christ. Oh, no. Jesus initiated first. Jesus calls to us first. The Holy Spirit calls to us and convicts us of our sin and woos us unto repentance. And the only reason I can choose to receive Christ is because God, by the work of the Holy Spirit, first worked in my heart to convict me of sin, to show me my need for grace. And so again, when we think about this idea of what they were doing, they're laying the groundwork of what the church will be. We do not have the power to raise the dead. Only Christ can do that if he wills. We do not have the power to heal. Only the Lord can do that if he wills. He calls us to pray for his will to be done, and we trust in whatever he does. Of the Christian. Now, I know as I say that, there is a segment and a part of the Christian world today that very much believes that these apostolic gifts continue to today. And you can have those conversations. I'm not saying those individuals that believe that are not saved, because of course, if they're in Christ, they're saved. That's not the issue. But you might have friends or family members or people you talk with that believe those apostolic gifts continue. You can have healthy conversation. It's not a reason for division. It's not a point of contention where we say, well, we can't be in fellowship together because you believe this and I don't. But for us, our church, when I read the word, you see a clear ceasing of some of these gifts. And the ministry of the apostles begins to, as they start to fade off the scene, now you see more of an emphasis on praying for God to do this or that thing. The laying on of hands that God would heal. Now think about it. Paul, who raised somebody from dead, I keep struggling with that word, raised someone back to life. There we go. That's what I want to say. He raised someone back to life, but when Timothy had an issue, he gave him medical advice. Right? I lost the name. The person that brought the letter from the church at Philippi. Epaphras? Is it Epaphras? I believe that's right. What's that? Okay, we're going to go with Epaphras. That could be wrong. But either way, he's a young man that was so sick. Remember? He was like close to death. And Paul didn't heal him. Paul prayed for him. So we see a transition away from some of these apostolic sign gifts and more to the tradition of just praying and seeking God's will that God would heal that person. And here's the reality. God 100% heals today. No doubt about it. But I do not believe, our church does not believe, that I or an individual has the gift of healing as the apostles did. Now we pray as the body of Christ, James chapter 5, and we lay on our hands and say, God, if it's your will, heal this person. About what that word apostle means in just a little bit if we have time. But there are no apostles as far as the office of apostle. There's no one alive today that has seen the risen Christ. There's no one alive today that was called into ministry by Christ directly, meaning he audibly called them into service. The 12 are a unique position of authority that was so needful for the foundation of the church. But once the word of God was finalized and once the Holy Spirit came in fullness, the apostles, as they faded off the scene, now we see pastors, evangelists, and teachers. Those that are communicating the word in that regard. So we have to understand it's okay to admit and to acknowledge that there was a unique time in which that God worked in these 12. Again, we see many groups trying to demonstrate these sign gifts today. Again, I believe if God heals, it's for his glory. So of course, if somebody believes they have the gift of healing, they may not have that gift for themselves, but they pray over somebody and God's will is that person is healed. Of course, God will use that to heal that person. But there's groups right now that will literally go to cemeteries and stand around graves and believe that they can raise the dead. Do you know how many they've raised? None of them, right? There's actually even beliefs that you can go and it's called grave soaking. Maybe you've heard of this. And they believe they can go stand over a grave, and if it's a person that was used by God mightily, they could, quote, soak the power out of their bones. That sounds pagan to me. That doesn't sound like the Bible. And so, but there's these teachings, there's these thoughts out there, and people buy into these things. And like I've said before, people have been told, if you have enough faith, pray, and God will always heal. That's not in the Bible. And unfortunately, so many people have been crushed under the weight of that because they prayed for their loved one to be healed, believing they had faith, and the person passed away because it wasn't God's will to heal them. And then they now are rocked in their faith because they think, well, if I just had more faith, if I just believed harder, that's not what the word says. No, God is the one who heals. God is the one who makes that decision. And we're going to read about we trust, but we leave it in his hands. And so I'm going to acknowledge that at the very beginning, that the things we're going to read about the 12 and what they were able to do, we believe, I believe, this was unique to the 12. And this is not something that we can go back to today and say, well, I claim that same promise for myself. We don't see that. So again, let's dive into Matthew chapter 10. So we're going to start in verse 1. I thought it was a good place to start. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And I know I usually ask for people to read verses, multiple verses, but we'll just read this first verse and then we'll see where we go from there. So somebody would like to read the opening verse for us this evening. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. Who'd like to read that? Yeah, Terry.
And when he had called his disciples to him, he gave them the power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease.
Awesome. Thank you. So here we have in your notes, Jesus sends out the 12 disciples. Now this again is the first time he's doing this. He's sending them out. He's commissioning them in your notes. He commissions them. The first thing we notice here, it says he called them. In the original language, this means that you call someone toward you. It would be like getting your attention. I call you toward me so that you are face to face with them so you can instruct them or command them. This is a very intense calling. The same word is used in Acts chapter 13, verse 2, to the leaders of the church at Antioch regarding the calling of Paul and Barnabas to missions work. This is where the Holy Spirit says to the leaders of the church, separate unto me, Paul and Barnabas. I'm calling them. I've called them to a special work. And this is the same terminology here that Jesus gives to his disciples. He's calling them and commanding them into a commission. Not only did he call them, he trained them. He trained them. He has spent time with them, discipling them practically. Notice that first they are called disciples, which means a learner of disciples. Disciple just means learner of, somebody who sits under a teacher or a rabbi. And these are disciples of Christ. Disciples were very common at this time. Many rabbis had disciples. John the Baptist had disciples. The first two disciples of Christ were first disciples of John the Baptist. And so this was very common. So he calls them disciples, and they're just learners. They've just been observing. They've been training up. And now he's going to put them into the field. Now he's going to commission them to go out and do this work. So first he calls them. They've already been trained. Remember what we said for a couple chapters now, they've been observing the ministry of Christ. They've seen what Christ can do, all the different things that Christ is capable of. And then he gave them the power they would need. So he called them to him. I'm going to commission you. You've been trained up, and now I'm giving you the power that you would need. What is the power for them to be able to do? They have the power against unclean spirits to cast them out. Again, breaking Satan's bonds. And they can heal all types of sickness. This is the idea of doing the work of restoration. So they're breaking Satan's bonds and they're restoring creation to what it's intended to be. They have watched Christ perform these same miracles, and now they are functioning under Jesus' power and authority. This power did not originate from them. It doesn't start with them, but from the Lord. He is the one that will be praised in all the gospel work the apostles perform. One commentary points out Matthew uses a different word to identify this group. And we see this in verse 2. It says, now the names of the 12 apostles. So notice the difference. What are they first called? Disciples. Now they're called apostles. There's a different word being used here. And again, the commentary points out that this word apostles is translated from the Greek, and it means a delegate or a messenger. The term specifically implies someone sent out on behalf of their master. In the business world at the time, an apostle might be given the authority to buy and sell on behalf of an owner or to give specific orders in his name. These apostles will do the same, casting out demons, healing the sick, and teaching about the kingdom of heaven, all in the name of Jesus. Their relationship to Jesus goes beyond that of mere disciples or students of the master. Jesus has elevated this group as his official sent ones. Notice that in Acts 1, we see another power that is given. So they have a power given here. In Acts 1, we see another power that is given, the power of the Holy Spirit to be witnesses. In this, I believe we see the general call to the disciples of Christ, not merely the office of apostle. We have the power we need through the Spirit to do the ministry that we are called to perform. So I don't claim that we can go to this passage and say, oh, I have that same power given to me, because this was given specifically to the 12. In Acts chapter 1, we see more of a general understanding that the power of the Holy Spirit is given to the body, the church, so that we can be his witnesses, so that we can proclaim the gospel to the ends of the earth. And so I want to dive in here just quickly, and we'll take a couple of these names. But verses 2 through 4, we're going to look at those verses together. So if somebody would like to read that for us, and then we'll start kind of just going through the list of names and what we know about them and who they are. So verses 2 through 4 of Matthew 10. Kelsey, thank you. Awesome, thank you. So here we have the first list of the 12 that we have in Matthew's gospel. So the names of the 12 apostles. Now, many of these are familiar to us, maybe some of these names. So the first one is who? Simon, also known as Peter. He is the leader of the early church following Acts 2. Really, he's the main character of Acts all the way up until the Apostle Paul steps on the scene. And so he's really the predominant leader in the early church. Peter's name is listed first in the list of the apostles, which implies, and that's true of every list. Every list we have of the apostles, Peter's name is always the first name. This implies that he was the leader of the 12. And we kind of see that in his personality, don't we? Very much a go-getter, up front, quick to speak, maybe sometimes slow to think, but very, very much a leader, right? And isn't it amazing how in himself and in his natural state, he had all the energy of a leader, all the desire of a leader, but maybe not the right mindset. And then we see the Peter that is full of the Holy Spirit, the Peter that writes 1st and 2nd Peter, and we see a totally different individual, right? We see somebody that's submitted under the power of God, willing to endure, willing to surrender to Christ, willing to be that servant leader. So again, we see even in Peter's life a transition from the negative examples of leadership to the positive examples of his leadership. Again, in the Gospels and in the book of Acts, we see him growing. And that's amazing to see that. So I say that to say this. In our life, and if you have children or grandchildren, and you see certain characteristics in them that seem like, man, these guys could be, he could be a leader one day, she could be a leader one day. Sometimes that means they push the envelope. Sometimes that means they challenge, they question, they kind of seem a little headstrong. Don't discourage that apart from the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not saying we encourage rebellion and disobedience and all that. But if a child or a young person tends to be more confident and headstrong, a little more of a go-getter, they could be a great leader one day. So what do? We encourage them with the Word of God. We pray over them. We ask the Spirit of God would give them strength and wisdom as they lead. But in the years of doing student ministry, Sandra and I, there were students that would come through our youth group, and they were just leaders. They didn't realize it. One young man, so many young people came to our youth group because of his influence over them and with them and just his ability to lead and guide and all of that. You're going to see people like that. And sometimes it can almost be a challenge to the point of like, oh man, so much work. Like this child is going to drive me crazy. But don't discourage those good qualities. Encourage them in the Lord that they would be submitted to him. And watch how God can use that person for his glory. So again, we see Simon Peter, the leader of the early church. And who's the second individual listed? We have Andrew. And how is he identified? As the brother of Peter. Again, you see that often with Andrew. I've always said that could be discouraging, but I don't think Andrew minded. He was really the first called disciple of Christ. And how is it that Peter came to follow Christ? Because of whose influence? Andrew's. And yet, Peter's always mentioned first, and Andrew's only identified as the brother of Peter. And that would discourage some of us. That would frustrate some of us, but Andrew doesn't mind. Tradition tells us that Andrew, following the time of Christ, and again, we don't know this from scripture. This is tradition, church tradition. Tradition tells us that Andrew ministered in Russia and Scotland. He is considered the patron saint of both Russia and Scotland. And it is said that he was martyred in southern Greece by crucifixion. History says, church history says, that he converted a Roman governor's wife to Christ. And the governor was so furious with this that when she would not recant her faith in Christ and stood on her salvation experience, the Roman governor had Andrew put to death. Yet for 2 days, he hung on the cross. So for 2 days, he's hanging on the cross. And the entire time, he preached Christ. The church history says that he literally, people were being converted to Christ as he was being crucified. He wasn't nailed to the cross. He was tied to the cross. And so he kind of as long as possible. And yet, something that was supposed to discourage and stop the gospel only encouraged the gospel to go forth. And so again, we see that all through church history. Number three, the third apostle listed is James, the son of Zebedee. He was actually martyred that's recorded for us in Acts chapter 12 and verse 1. I'll go there quickly. So he has no ministry after this time, but we can gather some things from what we read here in Acts chapter 12. So Acts chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2. Now about that time, Herod, and remember, Herod is not a name as much as a title. It's a political leader. Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Now, this is what we know of James as far as his martyrdom. But what can that tell us about James's impact for Christ? Can we gather anything from that? Well, I think we can gather that James must have had a pretty large impact for the gospel. Because as Herod's beginning to decide to go after the church, who does he target? James. If you read on in verse 3, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. So Peter's the leader of the apostles. He's the more vocal one. But Herod doesn't go after Peter. He goes after James. I find that interesting. Now, maybe it was because of the ability that he had to get his hands on James. He could go after him easier. I don't know the reasons behind this. But it tends to imply that the same son of thunder that we read about in the Gospels, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, the sons of thunder, very zealous, very passionate individuals. He was very outspoken for the gospel, right? Zealous for the gospel. Seemingly that continued through the book of Acts. And when Herod decided to try to stop the movement of the church, he went after James for Christ. A note here we'll pick up next week. Then we have his brother, John, the son of Zebedee. John wrote the gospel, which bears his name, three epistles, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. It's believed that following the ministry of Christ, and if you remember on the cross, Jesus was being crucified, and he looks at John, and he commissions John to take care of who? His mother, Mary. And he basically says, this is your mother, and this is your son. It's believed that John lived in Jerusalem until Mary's death. Again, per Jesus saying, she was now like a mother to him. We know that he ended up later on in years on the island of Patmos, ultimately released as an old man and lived out the end of his life in Ephesus. Tradition says that he was sent to Patmos, and there is some debate on this. Some believe that John died on the island of Patmos. Some believe that he was martyred a different way. Some believe that he lived and actually died of natural causes. But tradition does say that he was sent to Patmos after he survived being thrown into a basin of boiling oil. So they attempted to martyr him. It didn't work out. He survived that. And then they isolated him on the island of Patmos. And we know that the church of Ephesus cared for his needs, sent things to his care. And while he was on the island of Patmos, that's where he wrote the book of Revelation. So again, even in that situation, in a horrible condition like that, that's where God moved for John to write the book of Revelation. So we see that God used these four individuals in amazing ways. This is the first group that's kind of known as the inner circle of Jesus' disciples. Some exclude Andrew, and some put Andrew in. Some thinks it was Peter, James, and John were the inner three. Some add Andrew into that. But Andrew's personality is very much in the background. He's not really in the forefront. And so many believe that Andrew would have been part of that group as well. But these three and four, if you include Andrew, saw amazing things that the other disciples did not get to be a part of. One of the things that we know they saw was the Mount of Transfiguration. And they got to see that firsthand. And again, it's just amazing how God worked through these individuals' lives. So we'll pick up next week with Philip and move through the rest of the list and then continue through the chapter together. All right, we are out of time, so we'll stop here. Let's go ahead and do this. We'll pray and then we'll let you guys be dismissed. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this evening, and we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that while you had a unique calling and commission for the 12, you have an equally unique and an important calling for us today, that you call us, Lord, as your church, to go forth into the world, to lead people to Christ, to make disciples, to lead them in your word, that they might grow in Christ. Lord, thank you for how you use these ordinary men to do amazing things for your glory. These men were not overly educated, religiously trained individuals. They were ordinary men of various positions and different vocations. And yet, because they were submitted to you, because they sat at your feet, you used them to literally turn the whole world upside down. So, Father, we thank you for how you can use average, ordinary people like us for your glory. And again, it's not because of us. It's because of what you've done through us in the gospel and the Spirit of God that you've given us that indwells us and equips us to go forth into our world. So, Lord, we thank you for how you work and how you lead and all the many things that you do in our world. And I pray that we would be looking again for those opportunities to make a difference for you. Father, we thank you for all of this. go with us as we go our separate ways. Be with us this week, Lord, as some have a couple days of work or school or things of that nature. And Lord, just help us have a great Thanksgiving, to take time to thank you, to praise you for all the many things that we can be thankful for. And Lord, I do pray, if there's anyone listening to this tonight, Lord, that maybe it's just going on that are just hard. But Lord, we can always find a reason to praise. And if there's nothing else other than our salvation, that is enough. It is enough to say that we were dead and now we are alive. That we were lost and now we are found. We are part of your kingdom. We are sons and daughters of God. And even in the darkest day, the worst situations we find ourselves in, we can praise you because of your grace. And so Lord, help us to be thankful this week. But Lord, help it not to be just this week, because a day on our calendar says we're supposed to give thanks. You say in your word that we are to give thanks in all things, and this is your will for all of us. So Lord, would you be glorified as we continue to cultivate a mindset of thankfulness in all the things that we come across, from the smallest blessing to the largest blessing, that we would see it and be thankful. Again, we give you all the praise for all of this, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, God bless you guys. Thank you so much for coming out this evening. Have a great week. Happy Thanksgiving, and we'll see you next Sunday.